Andrés Sandoval. He is from the Physics Institute at UNAM, and he will be presenting data storage and analysis of the Hubble Gamma Ray Observatory. So we will continue with the Hubble project.
Just, so thank you very much also for being invited to this conference. We will be talking about the data storage and analysis of all this data that is produced by the Hubble Gamma Ray Observatory. As Alberto just showed you, we are up in the mountain looking at the gamma rays, detecting the air showers that come from the gamma rays and cosmic rays in the atmosphere with this 300 water Cherenkov detectors. And our aim is to produce maps of the sky in gamma rays every day, day after day. For about 10 years, we will be looking at the sky in these gamma rays. And here is one map with a little bit of data of our latest detector pointing to gas 250 tanks. And you see in this map the plane of the galaxy. This is this part here. And you see some very bright sources. This one here is a supernova in our galaxy. These ones here are galaxies that are about 200 million light years from us that are emitting very high energy gamma rays. And we expect to measure about 200, 250 of these sources. About half of those are known at the moment. Alberto talked also about how we do that, so I will skip that. And what we do is we record every signal that comes to these detectors. We put it into a farm of computers, and then we inspect them and decide if this instant of time there was an event of a shower or not. We get about 560 gigabytes per second of data that are arriving on our detectors. And those we cannot write out and store. So we have to filter them and select only a few of them that corresponds to showers that we can study. So here you have a plot of the multiplicity, the amount of number of tanks of photomultipliers that are fired in one event versus the rate of these events. So if we take everything, we have about 300,000 kilohertz. Sorry, 3 × 10⁵ hertz of data rate, and that corresponds to this 560 megabytes per second. And we have to go and select events that are much bigger. About 40 of these tanks are fired at the same time, to reduce the data rate to about 20 megabytes per second, and that's what we can store and then send it to the computing farms of analysis. So our computing strategy is the following. We have two analysis and data centers. One is at the Instituto de Ciencias Nucleares at UNAM, and the other one is at the University of Maryland. We have a full replication of all the raw data, the simulated data and the all analysis data in these two centers, and that is about 1 petabyte of data per year at each one of these sites. We store all this data on this, we don't store them on tapes, everything is on disk available. And we have computing farms at these two sites made out of commodity processors, and the aim is to have enough processors to be able to analyze 1 full year of data, this 1 petabyte of data, in 1 month, so that we can analyze several times what we have taken during that year to be able to optimize our analysis. So this is what gives the state, the size of our computing centers that we have to implement. Also, part of the strategy is we operate with the Linux CentOS OS. We use mostly C++ and Python as the common languages, but databases we use mostly MySQL. And there are several packages that have been developed in academia. One Corsica, this is the one that simulates what happens with a cosmic ray or a gamma ray, hits the top of the atmosphere and cascades and produces all these particles that we are able to detect in our observatory. There is this program called JAT that simulates what happens when these particles enter the water of the detector and how finally this Cherenkov light is produced and how it's collected by the photomultipliers in each one of the detectors. We use other packages called Root or Helix to make maps. We use very extensively the wiki, SVN for data storage, etc. We use SIBO for conferencing. We have a very widespread collaboration, 30 institutes in Mexico and Estados Unidos in the US. And so we meet about for an hour about every day in this conference system to be able to discuss the operation of the detector, the data acquisition, the analysis of the detector, and the different science projects that we are doing. At Maryland, we had, beginning of this year, a five system based on cluster. We had about two five systems with 600 terabytes, another one 400 terabytes, and a scratch database for the users of 50 terabytes, and about 688 cores. We saw that this five system cluster didn't perform for what we needed, so we just changed to Lustre. Recently, we increased the data storage to 1.7 petabytes, and this summer we will go up to 2 petabytes. And we increased the number of cores to almost 1,000 cores. And in Mexico, at the ICN, we have also a Lustre 5 system. In January, we had about 500 terabytes of disks, almost 200 cores. And then we increased it recently to 1.3 terabytes and 600, close to 600 cores. Here are some pictures of the hardware that we have. This is the Lustre 5 system at Maryland. This is the computing farm at UNAM. We have problems with the acquisition of this equipment. We have used the money from CONACYT and the project of the Proyectos Laboratorio Nacional FOC. We purchased in November about 800 terabytes of disks and 400 cores of it. And although the purchase was done in November, it's still not yet delivered. It's still stuck in Laredo and not arrived to UNAM yet. So this is something that takes half a year or more to be able to purchase and implement these computing centers, which is not the case in the U.S. This is something that would be desirable that with CONACYT and the funding agencies and Hacienda, we should be able to expedite and make more useful. It's half a year we're waiting for this money to arrive as an equipment in Mexico. Our strategy for the data transfer is the following. We have at the site writing on disk about 20 megabytes per second. And this is stored locally at the site. And then we copy them to portable disk arrays at 80 megabytes per second. We don't have the bandwidth of the network at the moment to transfer them by by the network. So we hand carry all these disks once a week, or even we send the mass packages with the bus and Estrella Roja to UNAM. And this probably, at this very few hours, is the biggest data network that we have in Mexico, of these arrays of disks transferring by roads to UNAM. Finally, we copy them in ICN, and we transfer them via a 1 gigabit per second network to Maryland, and there we check that everything is consistent on all three sites, and then we arrange that data at the site, and we have the two copies, one in UNAM and one in Maryland. The network we use is a link that exists from UNAM directly to San Antonio, 1 gigabit per second network. Then in Texas we go from San Antonio to Houston, and then from Houston we use the Internet 2 network to Maryland, here as Washington. Our problem that we have had is that so far we haven't been able to fully exploit this link. It should provide us something like 700 megabits per second in connection to Maryland. We were not aware of that just very recently, but the person that was doing this transfer, this job transfer, he got blacklisted in Maryland because he was doing all these threats, huge amount of threats being transferred all the time to Maryland. They said this is a hacker, and he was blacklisted, and then we sunk our data rate to something like 4 megabytes per second. So we are just going back again, and at the moment we were last night at 40 megabits per second. It should really go up to 700 megabits per second to use efficiently our connection to Maryland. In the analysis, what we have to do with this raw data that Alberto showed you, we have to inspect event by event and decide what it is. It's a gamma ray, it's a cosmic ray, what is the direction for the comps, what is the energy that it has, etc. All this analysis has to be done by events, and we have billions of events. What we want to do is this, finally, this is science. We want to look for the gamma rays, for the galactic and extragalactic sources, looking for pulsars, for binary stars that have black holes in one of them. We want to look for the diffuse emission of gamma rays. We want to go look for active galactic nuclei in the sky. And these are some of the sources that we have seen. We want also to look for evidence for dark matter that is shown to be the main constituent of the universe, and we have absolutely no idea of what type of particle is this, except for its gravitational effect on the universe. We want to look for primordial black holes and other stuff, including effects of solar physics when the solar sun emits flares in the plasma into the interstellar space. This comes and affects the geomagnetic environment around the Earth, and that changes the rate of cosmic rays, and we can study that. We want to study all these sources. This is one of these very far away galaxies, and this is the amount of light that we are getting at the observatory, and then suddenly you see that it flares, it gets a very bright, it's a flash that corresponds to this point here, and with the full detector we want to study these processes every day for hundreds of sources. One reconstruction is done mostly centrally because it's very costly. Here we are analyzing 40 terabytes of data of one run. It's 28,000 files. And this took 126 4 hours to reconstruct this data. And so this is the type of analysis that we have to do continuously all the time in this But here you have another summary of several reconstructions that we have done towards the end of last year. The data sizes are terabytes, 10, 12 terabytes of one of these data sets. And the core hours are on the tens to thirties of thousands of hours. And we are moving data at about 400 megabytes per hour in this analysis. We also do the simulation of these events that is also very costly. Centrally, we have access to a supercomputer in Maryland called the Deep Thought. It has 8,000 cores, 1 petabyte of storage, and 10 gigabytes per second link. And there is where we do all this analysis. And we have to simulate 10 to the 10 events of gammas, of protons, of all the other isotopes that come in the cosmic rays, so that we are able to really analyze our data and compare it to the simulations to be able to do the science out of it. The individual the event analysis of once these events are reconstructed are done individually. This depends then on every scientist that's working with this data, what is his project, what he wants to do with that data. And just to show you just a couple of them, we are analyzing here data with a maximum likelihood analysis, and you have to analyze at the same time the simulated data and your the real data, and by the comparison and the fitting of this likelihood analysis, you select really what is what you are seeing, and with that you can then look and make spectra. This is the number of particles that you look at, a function of energy, and this is the region where Hawk has data, and we do that in, as Alberto also mentioned, joint with different observatories to exploit the full capability of these observatories. We have also analyzed these cosmic ray anisotropies. This was done with data from when we had about 100 detectors of June 2013 to February 2014. So that was 140 days. And it was 50 billion of events that we have to analyze to make this data. That is where we got this shadow of the moon. And to make this analysis, we have to make maps. And this is also very time-consuming because we have to project all this data in different coordinates, galactic coordinates, equatorial coordinates, coordinates centered on the sun, coordinates centered on the moon, etc. And we use packages that divide the sky in equal area regions, something like half a million to a million pixels in the sky, and that's where we project our data. We also do multiple analysis of this data, so there is a lot of ways to analyze this. And these are really now over 100 of scientists that will be doing analysis of all this reconstructed data. So to finalize, I can only say that Hawk will be in this big data, big network game for the foreseeable future. Thank you. Show you our sponsors. It's the National Science Foundation, the Department of Energy in Coraceit, through NAM, the University of Maryland, in OE, and Laboratory, National Laboratory of Rosales.
Thank you very much.